Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, all my dear friends. This is your spokesman with the plan, Clarence Cloverleaf, welcoming you to Cloverleaf Radio on the JIA Network. You can listen to our shows on close to 20 different streaming platforms, including Anchor, iHeartRadio, Podbean, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Radio Public, and YouTube, to name a few. I've helped compile a list of our best guests since 2008, and those interviews have been scattered about the cloud, as they say. Something I thought we only received rain from. Go figure. So, go find yourself a good one, and you can listen 24/7, 365, to guests from all genres of entertainment. You'll never know who could show up. Check out www.jianetwork.com. And now, on to the main event with your host, the host with the most, Jimmy Falcon, and, well, quite frankly, anyone as his guest.
All righty, we're back for another live edition of Cloverleaf Radio. I'm the host of the most, Jimmy Falcon, and it is an absolute honor to be joined today by CNN legend, color commentator, broadcaster, anchor icon, veteran of Matt Toon, Larry Smith. How's it going, Larry?
I don't know if I'm a legend or not, but it's going well.
I think it's always better if someone calls you that and like, yes, I am a legend. Thank you for finding that out.
Glad you said it, not me. That's well put.
So I did want to mention, you talked a little bit about it. Why are you back in our little town? You've moved on so much. What brings you back to see everybody?
I'm part of the this year's class, 2019 class of the Mattoon High School Hall of Fame Society.
Oh, wow.
Something that we put in place 3 years ago, and the committee had nominated me, and I kept refusing the nomination because I just wanted to get... Let's get some other people in there. We've got some fantastic stories. People have had great careers.
Right.
And they nominated me again, and Craig Titley also, the Hollywood producer, was also in this class. When we approached Craig for a third time, he never could work out his schedule. And this year he said, well, why aren't you in it? And I explained, and he said, well, I tell you what, I'll go in if you go in with me.
That's
Craig,
neat.
Craig and I have been friends for a long time, so going back to our high school days. I said, well, okay, so here I am.
Yeah, it has to be really cool to get asked to be in some distinguished alumni or a Hall of Fame of some sort, but I'm sure when it comes down to small-town people, you're kind of like, well, is this really me? Is this what I'm about? So I think it's great that you held off for a while, but you did decide to be involved with it.
It was a great honor. It's awkward because I was, one of the people to put this together, so
right.
That was the thing. I didn't want it to seem self-serving, so that's why I kept saying no, no, no. This is the third time it's happened, East EIU Hall of Fame and Lakeland's Hall of Fame and then Mattoon. And this one's a little more special because it's the high school, and certainly all of my friends and classmates as well as teachers that I went through school with helped shape who I am. So this one was a little more special than the others, there's no question, because I have great passion for my hometown.
Yeah, there's a lot to be given here and learned. And, of course, graduating from Mattoon High in 1986, what lessons would you say you learned there that helped you choose the career path that you're on now?
It's funny that I didn't know in high school that I could do this. I actually created a fictional university any of my classmates who hear this, they'll chuckle. And I would play games on my video game. I'd record it on my boombox, like I was in the booth doing play-by-play, whatever. But I actually went into accounting. And feel free to laugh. I joke with you, would you trust this face to do your taxes? No, of course not. And but that's how I got into that, realized it probably wasn't for me for a lifelong career, was taking aptitude tests freshman year in college and realized that there was this other communication thing, and oh yeah, that thing you're doing, you can actually do that as a career and make money. And I switched majors and began to climb from there. But I think the big thing going through Mattoon was to reach for the stars. There were so many things I did in high school that were firsts that no one else had really done, and I was never afraid to at least try, even if I failed, at least give it a shot. And so those lessons and that attitude is what led me to this career.
I know you wanted to, you dreamed of being the first black president as well. But I guess there's always a chance for a second. Why didn't you ever decide to go full force with politics? Was it just not something in your heart? Or?
It just, I lost that spark once I got a chase to everything else. I have friends who still think I'm building a career. They would joke when I was at CNN. They would say, well, you're building a national platform and a name. And I'm like, no, it's not going to happen. You can affect change and you can affect people just as well without being in elected office than you can in office. You would never say never to anything, but I will tell you 100% that I have no plans at all to ever do that for a number of reasons, and you can pick anyone you want, and I'll go, okay. I like what the life that I have. I like the way I can reach people with this. Politics now has just become not as attractive as a career for me as what it might have been 30 years ago or 20 years ago. Just the nature of things. Spending some time in Washington recently, it certainly adds to that feeling, kind of strengthens that notion. So I get a chance to do some wonderful things with people, and thankfully, years at CNN and Turner Sports has given me a platform that allows me to walk in a door and state my opinion and say, hey, we need help, and people will respond. And so I like to use that in a good way, and I've been able to do that.
That's very awesome. And, of course, why did you decide to attend EIU in Charleston, and what courses did you decide you wanted to study there?
Well, great TV program is the bottom line. I went to Bradley University in accounting and was there for a couple of years, first year in business, second year in communications. Did not feel it was very strong from a practical standpoint. I couldn't find the TV station, and it was always locked, and the laboratory just did not seem very open. Went to Lakeland, took a full year of radio TV classes to get back on track with my major, my new major. Went to Eastman, it was right here close by, and the rest is history. So took speech comm classes and journalism minor. I still keep in touch with my professors. Dave Reed and Sue Kaufman and, of course, Mike Brad and so many others over there. But it's a fantastic program, and they've done a lot of really great things that's gotten some national recognition in the last probably 5, 10, even 15 years. And I know I'm very proud of that. A lot of my classmates at Eastern were very proud that we were kind of the beginning of that movement to kind of begin to build that into a really solid program, and I think one of the best in the Midwest. There's no question the lessons I learned there were very helpful in my career.
Yeah, 88.9 has a great station. I mean, they play so much variety of genres that it's right up my alley. So, and I think they do a lot with their television as well that helps kids learn what they need to go through to be able to have a career in this. And, of course, joining CNN in 1993, how did your journey lead there, and what are some of your proudest accomplishments?
Wow. Well, I'll take the first part. I began working at Channel 15, which was then the NBC affiliate in Champaign, while I was still in college at Eastern back in February of 1990, and was there 16 months, then took a job in Knoxville at the NBC station, was there for 9 months, long enough to meet my wife, and met her, and literally 2 months later I moved to West Palm Beach just with my first sports job, which is what I wanted to do, weekend sports anchor at the NBC station there, and we had a former CNN intern at the WPTV in West Palm Beach who was a former college athlete. And she walked up one evening after I did my Sunday night extended 20-minute show and said, you've got the talent to be on CNN. Here's the number. Here are the two guys in charge, and here's the phone number. And I said, yeah, I'll give him a call. I'll call him sometime. I'm not ready. Oh, my goodness, I'm only 24 years old. Well, come on. I called the next morning. Let them get their morning coffee out of the way, and I called. And about 6 weeks later, I drove up 9.5 hours to Atlanta to spend 30 minutes in the office there, met both of them, and they asked me, they said, if you would, keep in touch, once a month call us just to touch base and let us know how you're going, and secondly, if you get an offer anywhere else, don't take it till you talk to us. Well, if you're 24 years old and a network exec of a sports department tells you that, you feel pretty good about yourself. And 6 months later, Van Orr Wright left to go to Detroit, and I was happy to be back into town, and I met with them, and they said, you're one of three candidates we're looking at. Are you interested? I said, I'm 24 years old. Hell yes, I'm interested. And that's what happened. So lo and behold, that was the end of September. 2 months later, 12 days after my 25th birthday, I'm anchoring my first show on CNN. 16 years, I covered more than 16 major championships. Proud of the longevity and proud that, you know, I know every single day I did my very best. I may not have been the best. I may not have been perfect, but I know that I never took a day off. I always worked very, very hard. And I think even now, I've been gone from CNN for 10 years, the fact that people still remember me from CNN, I take great pride in that because that means that in some way somebody liked what I was doing.
And you have interviewed so many cool people. People like to ask me who my favorite person to interview was. And I know it's kind of like a big thing to say, pick out maybe one or two of who your favorites. But out of the people like Tiger Woods, Ernie Banks, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, I mean, the list is growing much longer than that. But who would you say were some of your favorites to sit down with?
Those were some. Kareem is always good because Kareem doesn't really like the media that much. You know, or he didn't at the time. He's warmed up. And that was always good to talk with him. Tiger was always a good interview. Michael Phelps is one. Tiger and Michael are a lot alike in terms of, you know, if you don't ask well thought out questions, you can see in their face that they're bored. You know, like that's the best you got. So those guys, I think, really stand out as some that are interesting. Always enjoy talking to Tom Izzo. He's just one of my favorite coaches. He's just a genuine good guy. There's a lot of them, and I've just spent the rest of your time here, and I could bore you with stories.
Not more than I'm boring you, I'm sure.
No.
Of course, I mentioned that. Gosh, I think it was 2007 when you visited our spoke to our Lakeland Broadcasting class. And I just think it's kind of neat how this came around like this. I wanted to thank you for that.
Sure.
And, you know, for sharing the knowledge that you had to a young group of up-and-coming people who wanted to do this for a living. And I'm not sure how many people are still doing it from our class because people move on. But it was really nice of you to come and speak to us.
No, I mean, I think that's what it's all about. You know, look, I recognize that there aren't many people from a small Midwestern town of 20,000 that gets a chance to do the things I've done. And, you know, my kids are now in high school. They're entering college in the next year or two. And, you know, I would hope that whatever they choose, there is someone there that can take the time to stop and mentor them. You know, I think about, now that I get older, what's my legacy? Well, my legacy is people that I can reach out and inspire in whatever way. And I don't try to reach out and hit that one or two individual people, but if there's someone who wants to hear what I have to say, I'm happy to share whatever it is. I'm stunned. There have been people who have reached out, and I've said, sure, have them call me, and they don't call. And it happened so many times, even people here in this area, that, oh, my neighbor's son's best friend wants to get into sportscasting. Okay, well, because it's you, here's my cell phone number. I don't always give this out, but feel free to give it to him. I'll do that right now. And never hear another word. So, which is a good thing, because if you're not serious about this, if you don't have the passion for it, don't waste my time. Or don't waste anyone else's time. This is a career, as you know, you have to be passionate to try to get to the level now, because it's so very competitive. But anytime there's somebody who wants knowledge from me, I try my best to give that.
Especially podcasting. It seems like now everybody and their granddaughter has some podcast on something. And I think that it's awesome that these opportunities have opened up. I'm just hoping that maybe the podcasting does not go down the drain in a way, so to say, because of so many heads in the pond.
Yeah, I haven't started one yet. I've thought about it, but it's amazing. My wife listens to them all the time, and most people do. I just don't stop long enough to figure out how to download them. It's just me, you know. But I think it's fantastic, because when you are on a long drive, there's just so many topics. And I think right now, with so many of the media companies being swallowed up by larger corporations, sometimes those independent voices that are very important get lost. And so I think that's where right now our podcasting has filled a real important niche in our society.
Absolutely. And the final question I always like to ask, what does the future hold for you? It's one of those loaded-ended questions.
That is. You know, I'm not done with TV, I don't think. There is a situation right now that may finalize itself in the next couple of weeks. And so if that happens, we'll put an announcement on Facebook in terms of what that is. It if this does happen, it could be my final job. It's one that's kind of that important, that's that large of a situation. Otherwise, I don't know. Really enjoying, my kids at this very special time in their lives. And, daughter's a senior, son's a junior, going through the college process. They're very proud. They're good kids, thanks to their mom. And, I don't know. I'm not done. It'd be cool to reach the 50-year mark in this career. I'm at 31 right now, so we'll see if that happens. But I love what I do. And if you asked me, what else would you go do? And maybe public speaking. But in terms of a 9-to-5 job, I don't know what I'd go do, because I've had so much fun with this and the freedom to interview people and to meet people and to be able to tell stories. And I think one thing I've done is not just seen in my whole career is I think I've been able to be somebody who's trustworthy. I've only had one incident that was an odd, weird incident, and that wasn't anything of my doing. It was someone else misinterpreting something, blah blah blah, whatever. So, but it's a good life, and it's a good career, and I'm very blessed.
Yeah, I think if you're in a career that's you're all over the place, it's got to be hard, because with the internet the way it is, I mean, everyone's got a comment. They're all geniuses and know everything about, what you're doing and your life. But
well, what's funny is that it is, journalism is lost. I'm amazed, even just watching what some people do, is that people on social media who weigh in with an opinion, who didn't even bother to call. And these are journalists. I don't mean just somebody who just decides to post something, who, random, Joe Blow out in wherever. These are people who are journalists who want to go post an opinion and have the ability to call the newsmaker and never do that. That's what journalism is all about, is, okay, wait a minute. Right here in Mattoon, we had the Omega scandal, trading scandal years ago. And I was always amazed when that happened, because I would come to visit and I would ask my family, what is this construction company over here? I've never heard of this guy. Brand new building and 20 trucks, and nobody ever asked the question. Who are you, and how did this happen? Well, it turned out there was, some funny business going on. But that's the thing of a journalism is, you have to be curious to be a journalist. You have to ask questions. And if you don't, well, you're doing yourself a disservice as well as your listeners and your readers.
Absolutely, Larry. Thank you so very much for joining us today. It was an absolute honor getting to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. Thank you.
Hey, this is actress Brianna Densky. You may know me best as playing June in the film Wonder Park. And you're listening to Cloverleaf Radio, hosted by the host with the most, Jimmy Falcon.
All righty. Got a little horse there just waiting. I am the host with the most, Jimmy Falcon, and we are back. What you guys just heard, in case you tuned in later or something and didn't get the name of the guest, that was a live interview I did. I always call it live. They're always live interviews. We're always alive. An in-person interview I did a couple of months ago with veteran CNN sports broadcaster Larry Smith, a local Mattoon boy like myself. It was really nice talking to him in person. We were scheduled to be welcoming my old friend Wally Winger, but unfortunately, I think he got the time mixed up or something, thought we were doing it later. And unfortunately, he said he could do it now, but we're almost out of time, and Block Talk likes to hang up on me if you don't get done at a certain time, and I'm not quite sure how long we are going to be continuing with Block Talk. We may just strictly be on Anchor from now on. Unfortunately, Block Talk slowly over the last 11 years has been taking away certain amendments and certain spaces in your audio clips and how long you can broadcast and whatnot. Now they are going to limit your show to 30 hours, which is basically about 60 episodes. If you think about the half an hour time I'm on now, unless you pay more, you don't have to worry about that. So they're going to be deleting shows. I have, 572 episodes alone on the original Cloverleaf Blog Talk. So trying to get as many of those downloaded as I can, and hoping that I have enough time to get more of the crucial ones. I did see yesterday, unfortunately, someone who was a big part of American history passed away. And this is from the Atlanta National News. Donna Leo and Nick Clifford, the last surviving worker who participated in the carving of the Mount Rushmore National Memorial, died Saturday. Rapid City Journal reported he was 98. Clifford was 17 when he joined the crew of 400 men and women tasked with the job of carving the monument in South Dakota. He was the youngest worker on the project. It took 14 years to carve Mount Rushmore. According to KMBN, the project depicting Presidents Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, and Roosevelt was completed in 1941. Clifford was born in Pierre on July 5th, 1921. He said, "I feel like Mount Rushmore was the greatest thing which I was ever involved." Clifford told the newspaper in 2016, "It tells a story that will never go away, the story of how America was made, the men who helped make it the way it is today." So a big part of history gone now with the passing of Nick Clifford, the last surviving Mount Rushmore carver, passing away this past week at 98. Living a great long life. Hopefully we will be getting Wally rescheduled. I don't have any shows upcoming. It's getting toward the end of the year. So after a few more weeks, maybe a month, I'm going to shut down things for the year. Of course, this last week, I also just recently inducted and introduced the last 2019 Hall of Famer for Cloverleaf, great David Thibodeau, the Waco survivor and author. Got a lot of great feedback, like 160 likes on that post, which was really awesome. David's a great guy, and it's an absolute honor to welcome him into our Hall of Fame. I hope everyone has a very happy Thanksgiving. Eat lots of turkey and potatoes. But if you're driving, or I'm sorry, if you're drinking while watching that football game, just be sure and don't drive. Keep the roads safe for everybody. But enjoy the holidays, and of course, be safe on Black Friday. Thank you, everybody, as always, for listening. Have a great night.